Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift here on Here Be Monsters Network. My name is Nicole Tomasini. I am joined by my co-host, Gwen Barry. And today we are talking about stay the course and the vigilance and the trust and what we're all going through right now planetarily. So say hi to Gwen. Hi, Gwen.
Hi, Nick. I think you have to remember to use all the tools available to you to keep that going, too. You know?
Yeah.
Affirmations. A lot of people work with affirmations successfully. I have occasionally. I'll tell you what helped me, too, was I did some Buddhist chanting. That works. There's all kinds of little helpful tools, you know, out there for us to work with when we're challenged, you know. And I think that was something that Mr. Lesher was referring to in his Pele report, that this was a challenging week.
A lot going on, that's for sure. It is sort of a push me, pull me kind of a thing going on, and we're moving forward and ascending, if you will, no matter what. And it's happening in our bodies, and it's happening with reaching out to spirit and planetarily. So yeah, a lot going on. And yet, one of the themes that he brought up was we're still in Aries, but we are certain planets are moving into Taurus before we even get to Taurus. And Taurus is all about, okay, all of this stuff is great, but where's the money? And what's going on? When are we going to bring it down to Earth?
You got to appreciate Taurians, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
They know how to keep it comfortable.
Right.
And if it isn't comfortable, they have a way of making it seem it.
Yeah, when in balance. Yes.
Yeah, when in balance. Okay, there's that.
Yeah, that we're all dealing with.
Well, and I believe, too, that Jupiter has gone direct.
Mm. Yes, in Leo, isn't it?
Yeah, since Jupiter is my home turf, and Leo is my moon, but I'm a Libra rising, which gives you a clue.
Yeah, wow, we have the same rising. I never realized that before.
Yeah, half you go this way, half you go that way.
Right. Giving the presence of going with the flow, no matter what's happening, for real. Yeah, so Jupiter, go on with Jupiter.
Well, no, Jupiter going direct is a very positive thing in that those of us who are working at building something, especially a career or just any project, really, Jupiter is a very healthy influence, you know? That's the emperor. That's the business. And I'm actually looking it up directly so that I can give a better reply to it.
Well, in the
it's greater fortune. It guides high ideals in a sense of purpose and what brings us our most happiness. You know, people under the Jupiter influence or the Jovian influence are usually people who are looking for the peak experiences and want to know, you know, want the questions answered. Why am I here? Who am I really? Where do I come from? And what's it all about, Alfie? That's Jupiter.
Well, that explains a lot of the searching and the research that I've been doing, because I think this time is about strengthening what you already have, especially those of us that have been working on these things for a long time. It's not so much accumulating all this new information. It's more about strengthening the different pockets that you already know about and learning more about those and internalizing those. And really, the vigilance comes in with working with these things. And then we can get into trust, because you can't be vigilant without trust. Nobody's vigilant without trust. It'd be like, why am I doing this? You got to trust in something.
Yeah, you really do have to. You really do have to have a certainty within you that says, I know where. For me, the certainty rests here. It's a combination of my spiritual quest, if you will, or my spiritual seeking, combined with my natural ability to, or my natural curiosity that says, show me, or the science in it all. And in my point of view, we are at a point of planetary evolution. The species, especially Homo sapiens sapiens, we're at the edge of evolution. And the evolution comes with, you know, turning more of this brain on inside of us. And that's reflected in the day by all these children that are now born with more brain turned on. Doesn't mean they're smarter than the elder generations. It means they're working with more tools. And those tools enable them to expand and grow, though, in life beyond what the generations before them have. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't those in the generations before that haven't accessed it. More brain. It's just not been the standard, and it is becoming now the standard. And one of the big things within the New Age, metaphysical, healing, spiritual, you know, indigenous community has been about turning more brain on and having left and right brain or bicameral brain working. And that's because it expands our sensuality from the physical to the sensual, to the subtle, sorry. In other words, it's not a sixth sense. It's a combination of the five senses that have a life in the physical body and in the spiritual body too. Does that make sense the way I said that?
It does. I see the parallel of the stay the course. That's your course. Your course involves your left and right brain, your senses, using all of those things that are along your path, everything that's around the path, on the path, how the path goes. And that's the next. I realize when you say evolution, I say ascension, and we mean the same thing.
We do. Yes, yes, ma'am, we do. I guess one of the things that I do is I reconnoiter or I align or tag certain words with certain experiences. I mean, I owned a New Age shop where a lot of people would walk in and want to know, you know, how to awaken, how to use the tools that were going to ultimately bring them to ascension. And in the early 90s, much of that was focused around just an escapism, is what I will call it. Let us find nirvana and samadhi. Let us, you know, take the ride on the mothership. We got to get out of this place. There was a great deal of that, if not outright, then it was the subtle context in a lot of people's journeying. That and how can I get some more money in the bank? that's just honest. Then there was the group, the people who would come looking out of curiosity and wanted to know honestly what was going on. Those folks, wow, you know, it's like I've been attending church all my life, and it's just, it leaves me vacant. And not only that, I just can't grasp what the foundations of the religion are any longer. They don't make sense. They're outmoded. And they twist me up with bad feelings, you know?
Yeah.
When that's going on and people seek outside of that, you know, there's been some real shifting going on since people learned that this was all possible. And I think you have to go back into the 60s, you know?
Well, that was the first wave.
Yeah, it was. And many of the people in that first wave were in the school system at that time, were in college or just getting out. And many of our best teachers, in my opinion, from that era, and authors, were people who came out of an academic community and said, hey, wait a minute, I got more questions, and I see much more fabric of the universe with seeking things spiritually than I do listening to the age-old tales told by religious, you know, and disciplines that were aligned religiously. And, of course, that was the great era, too, of, you know, screw politics, that it's all corrupt. That was the first toe in to that. So that first wave, yeah, and a lot of those elders now are crossing, and it's up to the next generation to take up the reins. And there's been a shift because we know so much more, and ascension is a real thing. I say evolution, you say ascension. Altogether, it's about shifting the paradigm, as we've always said, you know, we got to shift this paradigm. And it's genuinely in the real world let me place that in a better context. It's genuinely on the plate of every human being in the world right now, because we're losing the capacity to feed people. We're losing the capacity to ensure that generations are going to have clean water and air. You know, these are all things we know. And there's a huge fight going on right now that jumps into, it's contained mostly in the political ring, or, you know, in that eternal sea, if you want to use biblical reference. Where the fight is to keep us grounded in the corrupt and the, you know, exploitation of the earth and the exploitation of culture and the exploitation of humanity by a few for their own good. And this is a huge lesson for humanity. We're in a huge karmic shift pattern right now. And that's what the ascension, in my point of view, is about, is growing beyond, learning the lesson, getting it, and going to the next level. I know for many people, especially in our community, this is about not just about that, but also the fact that we are transiting from one dimensional consciousness into another dimensional consciousness, from the third dimensional, I don't want to say reality. What I want to say is conscious awareness, a 3D conscious awareness to a 5D conscious awareness. Do I make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of folks are very... I think it's a matter of understanding that we're already there, but seeing it for what it truly is.
Exactly. Oh, so well said, Gwen. Yes, we're already there and seeing it for what it truly is. I think that's the sentence of the week, especially for me in my life. I keep asking for this more and more and more, but all this information is like flowing to me. So, you know, I'm like a sponge. I'm just like, okay, this, that, the other thing. But then I ask myself, why more? What is this more? Like, what is it going to do for us? And actually, I asked the question, I've been practicing remote writing, which is another tool, right, that we've all known about.
I've never tried that.
Really? And I'm sure a lot of people haven't known all about it, seen people do it, think it's cool, and that's kind of the end of the story. And I've written journals often my whole life with gaps, of course, in between. And so I've been having this to write, but I don't know how it's going to work. And so, you know, I had to work with myself to see how I would work it. And so I've been writing, and so I asked the question to the remote writing, why more? And they said, it's not really about more. It's about more of the knowledge and working with it. And actually, I should probably look and see, because it's such a new way of...
It's reinterpreting old knowledge.
Right.
It's reinterpretation of old knowledge. In my experience, and that's what a lot of channeling is, too. I think when I sit down to write, oftentimes I suppose I could classify it sometimes as automatic writing when I'm creating fiction.
Absolutely, and it's just working with that. So here it is. But what is the more and why? I asked. The more is more in depth of what is already known. One sentence. In my head, I remember it as a paragraph.
Well, that's because it came to you as a gestalt of an answer, you know?
Yeah, that seems to happen.
It's an experience, because you might get a few words, but your head went through a shift.
Well, that's what's happening with the remote writing. And I would definitely say that is a very interesting tool, if only for the exploration in your brain about what would I remote write? Who would I talk to? What is going to come out? What would I ask? Just those questions open up whole other worlds in your consciousness. And then if you actually sit down, I say wait for guidance. I did. I was like, okay, I'd like to try it, but not yet. I'd like to try it, but not yet. Mm-hmm. And then last night I was looking out, and I have this app on my phone where you can see what stars and constellations and planets are around you.
Yeah.
And I saw it kept going over the Pleiades northern cluster, right here, right here, right here. I was like, okay. And they've been coming up all day. So it was like the third sign of the Pleiades. So I thought, okay. And I sat down and I wrote, what would happen if I sat down and asked to talk to the Pleiadians? Do you guys channel? Like, what's your deal? Even though I know, but it started the conversation.
So. Yes.
And then you see what questions you're actually asking. I mean, a lot of it was me wondering what to ask. Like, well, what do I, how does this work? And then how do you receive the message? And how do you write it down? And how, when it comes sort of coded, do you fix the words so that it makes sense? Like, I think sometimes in the beginning I write, it's like I'm calibrating or something. I just hear words above, below, beyond, forever, below, beyond, forever, in things, left, right. And then it starts to come.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just saying, using everything that we have, all these tools. I mean, this just happened for me, the remote writing, in the last few days. And it's like, wow, okay, there's this whole world here that was just never explored. And it may not be remote writing for everyone, but there are all, even your essential oils. I mean, I've been on this journey for a while with them, but mm-hmm. I can just imagine, like, what if you've never tried working with any kind of flower essence or sense of any kind that are transcendent. Imagine. I mean, it's a whole world.
It is, yes. And basically going from 3D to 5D is you discover it in little epiphany moments,
right,
you know?
Right. Pockets.
Yeah. That's where I think it resides.
And it's also a good trust exercise because, you know, you have a choice. One of the questions I asked during my channeling is, why do I want to ask, am I making this up? And the answer was, aren't you making everything up? Everything comes from thought. So,
yeah, that's good. That's good.
You make yourself up to go out at night, so what's the difference? I was like, well, you've got a point.
So what was your answer about connecting to the Pleiadians?
Well, I seem to have talked to this dude who told me his name.
Can I ask these questions on air?
I don't see why not.
The dude's name?
Well, it reduced down to Theron.
Theron.
But the beginning was like Theradadian or Therondian, Therondan. You know, I was hearing more, and then little by little it went down to Theron.
Well, you really found some uptown peas. Myself, my pea guide is just Sam.
That's great.
Perhaps he felt that was the only name I could pronounce. You know, you just never know. It's been my experience, though Sam is not, but the majority of Palladians are like neon teal blue raspberries that blip through going neener neener. Oh, we're here, but we're not going to talk to you. We're just going to let you know.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what interesting. So I would ask a question, and then sometimes I would get an answer.
Yeah.
Like a no, yes or no. And then it would say, answer the question or next question. But then the answer would come. It was almost like he deferred to someone else to give more information. It's an interesting distinction, you know, just to explore.
That when we first opened Daughters of Isis in Pompano Beach, there was a magazine out at the time called Connecting Link about all channelers, kind of like Sedona Journal of Emergence is now. And they found us, you know, on some list. And so they sent us a couple of copies of magazines. They wanted us to sell it, you know. And they had all these tapes of channelings. And they sent just buku packages of these tapes. And I listened to one group from Arcturus or something, and it didn't really faze me. I was like, you know, huh, okay. And then they sent Barbara Marciniak and the Pleiadians. And I couldn't not listen to it.
I felt the same way about her channeling.
I couldn't not listen to it, even though I smart-assed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of talking back. And a lot of, oh, yeah. I couldn't not listen to it because there was an alignment for me there. One that I just couldn't turn away from. There was something there for me.
Well, guess what? That was the beginning of the channeling. Now I think I have to share. So I wrote, so let's talk. Well, this was my initial, before I tried to talk to someone directly, just to see what would come through. And this is what came through. So it's kind of like what I heard and then in my own experience. So let's talk about the interstellar communication between beings. I understand that I come from there, the cosmos. How? How do I understand that? By paying attention to things that call to me. When you hear the name of something, if it resonates with you, you feel it. Something inside urges you towards it, a yes. Then by following that, listening when it comes up, you form an understanding of what it is. The knowledge of what it is confirms or denies your relationship with it. Sometimes things look familiar, you feel a drawl to it, only to find its road only takes you so far. It doesn't continue to compel you to find out more. Other things have a driving force within you. Every time it is mentioned, the same bell goes off. Ding, that's my jam. Every time, and that's how you know where you came from.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I've been mentored through great teachers, usually authors, in what I have done since the very beginning. And one of the very first mentors I've had, and I've since gotten to meet her and know her a little bit, and I just really I've learned so much from, is Barbara Hand Clough, and she used to run Baron Company in Santa Fe. And they published so many wonderful books. They published the original Palladian stuff with Marciniak and whatnot. But Barbara Clough wrote a book that I still argue with, but I've gotten so much from. And anybody who's interested in the Palladians, I always say you have to read this book. You're going to grok it for 30 years. It's called The Palladian Agenda. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, you told me about it years ago.
Okay.
Great book.
It's amazing. It's just an amazing book. She gives this incredible channeling from a master astrologer named Satya from the central Palladian planet of Alcyon. And the stuff that gets said is outrageous in many ways, and yet you can find where she, this was published in, oh my goodness, I can't remember, but it was in the 90s, and she put out all of these, you know, indexes of what was coming up, and she based it all on Palladian and geocentric to Earth astrological alignments and influences, and yet she said this is what will happen. And many of the cycles that she put out through to today have been very, very on target. Sort of like reading through Danny and Brinkley's dream visions that he had when he went through near-death experience.
And that's the trust right there. That's the vigilance and the trust. I think that's what we're being asked to strengthen right now is, okay, how many examples is it going to take before we start operating on this level of awareness and frequency? I mean, and it's not a judgment. I see it with myself. I mean, with being the doubting Thomas that I just realized I am. You know, we doubt everything first, but that's the thing. You have to prove it to yourself. And then when you get the proof, you prove it to yourself more. And then you get the proof, and then you prove it to yourself more. And then you get on this loop. That's what Abraham calls momentum. And I think that's what brings us more often, if not always, in the place of knowing and trust. And way farther away from fear and doubt and sadness.
Yeah.
So, and it's these little steps right now. I think that's why, you know, we were guided to call it Stay the Course, because who knows what the course is? It's not a straight line. I mean, you can see from this show, it's not a straight line. We went on a whole thing about channeling. I mean, I said one word and it just opened up a whole thing. So following that guidance, that is your path. That is your course. What does your course look like? Well, look around. It may not be just a straight road like we think about it in third dimension. And these little pockets that you go off on may actually bear some wonderful fruits.
Well, you know, I have to say, I've learned something that is becoming more and more valuable to me. And that is the trust has to be within yourself. And in that, I mean that, you know, it's like there's so much information out there right now and there's so much going on that we should be concerned about, that we should be involved in knowing about and doing our best to, you know, walk a very, as the Palladians would say, impeccable, integritous lifestyle while all this is going on. And I totally, when I said impeccable, I went someplace else right
now. Yeah, see. Yeah, but that's exactly right.
It's true. This is what I wanted to get to. We've spoken about this many times. The only way to hear the truth any longer on this planet is to filter it through your heart.
Oh, yeah. You have to convince yourself as to what it is. Because at the end of the day, there is no, you know, it's a hard concept for us to really wrap our heads around. There really is no right and wrong, good or bad, wrong way, right way. It's just, what are you doing? What are you saying? What do you believe in? And who are you?
Yeah, and there are a lot of tools that you have to enable you to get there quicker, to come to awareness quicker. But everyone is going to progress at their own rate,
which, you know, will all be accelerated. Like, no matter who you are and how fast you think it's going, everyone is in an accelerated rate.
Okay, well, you got to show me again.
Well, but that's the message that's been coming up a lot lately, is the staying and knowing and being in your joy no matter what's going on around you. I know it's not a new saying, but that's where the strength and the mastery comes in, being able to know it's true without having to have the outside show it to you. That's like the beginning of a whole new consciousness that starts with trust. Otherwise, you're trusting because you're seeing. So that means you're trusting in your eyes, which we know, you know, it's not about the eyes.
Oh, well, of course. Of course you are right. Still, there's something very healthy about keeping that Missourian attitude too, because you know it's a combination. It's the sacred science that we have to embrace. Do I make sense?
Absolutely. Well, that's the other side, isn't it? Is that you have to prove it to yourself. You have to see it to be true. And there's all this confirmation around us. It's just not necessarily coming the way we might think. But it's once you start to, you know this, once we start tuning into it, it comes more and it comes more and you get more and more confirmation and then it strengthens what's really, you're like, okay, this really does work. All right, so what's the next level?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so it is both. I have been saying it is about the paradox.
When we were speaking earlier about Barbara Clough, It occurred to me that with the last Pele report, I did not go over and check out if Barbara Clough had actually printed or updated anything on the astrological of the times. She does that on her site every so often when there's a large, you know, shift. And she did on March 16th. She posted about the 7th Uranus-Pluto square. So, and it sounds an awful lot like what Tom said this past week, coming to the end of the seven exact squares of Uranus-Pluto that have taken place since 2012. It predicted the virulent return of the strident socio-political issues of the 60s when Uranus and Pluto came together in the sky in Virgo. So our conversation in this show has been kind of right on there. And it's really, what has happened has been a lot of replay from the 60s. There's been racial tension, political chaos, the environmental degradation, and the allopathic medical abuses, excessive militarism, police abuse, American foreign interference, and it's all come back with a vengeance, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
It's so everything told us it's like somebody needs to be dialing in some Buffalo Springfield here. we're making progress, but we've got a ways to go to resolution. And I'm going to quote her here: since the meaning and outcome of these 60s issues will not be known until Uranus and Pluto come together in 2104. That's the astrological. That's the stars. That's the constellations in the sky and how they're turning.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
you think it's a long time, but
it's really not. I mean, you know, to fix it, to like really have all those things you just mentioned working in the right order, that's a blink of an eye, right? 100 years, less.
Less.
Yeah.
According to astrology, these conflicts will attain their ultimate magnitude when Uranus opposes Pluto in 2046-48. Some kind of resolution will come by 2073-04 when the final square occurs, and a new cycle of radical deep change will begin at the beginning of the 22nd century. So she's saying that we're in the 100 years right now of huge shift. We're paving the groundwork. Well, hell.
Exactly. It's the large scale look ahead. It's a big map.
Yeah,
you got to start somewhere.
It is. It's like saying within 100 years, what she's saying, that astrologically speaking, within 100 years, the shift, the paradigm shift will be construct. You know, and it won't be construct if we don't maintain, if we don't stay vigilant.
And as we all know, with building anything, especially a building of some sort, the foundation, A, takes the longest, and B, is the most important.
Well, we're at this Merkab dance on the edge of ecocide, you know? So basically, also, the proof is in the pudding there. Because if we're here in 100 years, we're going to be here well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I heard that it's about the nodes and the knolls on the planet, and 12 of them where creation started. And it's about now them opening up and starting to connect with each other and therefore us and our planet. And 33% of them are open, so one third is open. So it's already happening.
Oh yeah, I think so too. And I think that these places are near places where, in legend, have been characterized out of fear instead of recognized for the power that they hold to transform. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not everybody was willing to walk up the hill to see the Pythia, you know? at the entrance to the cave or in Delhi, you know, are on the Temple of Delhi. Delphi. Sorry.
Greek. Recalibrating.
Yes. Reconstructing for mythological references. Oh, okay, we're in Greece.
Exactly. It's totally how it happens. Yeah, go on.
The opening to that cave was actually a conduit into the deeper bowels of the earth, and there were gases that were released from the earth that the Pythian priestesses were inhaling on a daily basis. Think they were a little altered? Oh, I guess so.
That's how they could see.
Well, and this has always been an exotic tool of the shaman. In any culture throughout the recorded history we have right now, because right now I'm of a mind, I have to put this as a little side comment, I happen to think it's quite possible that humanity has done all of this like maybe two or three times before, and we just can't see the wreckage of those culture, those civilizations. What I am saying, though, is that these tools help us to go deep within and to shut all of the physical senses down so the subtle senses take over and show us the way, you know, penetrate the unknown.
There you go. And that is the course.
Yeah, and right now, the people who are actually... A lot of people are abusing those. We've got more drunkards and addicts and stuff than we've ever had on the planet before that we know of, you know. That's a lot of accessing the other side, you know.
Right, and at least wanting to be there, even if you choose, you know, a treacherous road to do it. Like heroin, you know. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I saw a curious movie the other night. Love Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Depp was the hero in this movie. I guess wasn't too popular. I really enjoyed it, though, called From Hell. And he played the inspector who in the... the beginning of industrialization in the 1800s was the inspector assigned to the Whitechapel murders by Jack the Ripper. And Jack the Ripper represented the first known categorization of a serial killer. And it kind of opened up the crime that has become the 20th century and the 21st century, you know?
How so?
Well, we didn't have, before that, the classification of multiple murders was war or clan, you know, retribution. It was always considered something that was more of a group phenomenon. But when Jack the Ripper stalked and murdered women subsequently, you know, one after another after another. And the term serial killer,
right,
was coined. That also opened a huge doorway, as Jung would say, of the collective consciousness,
right,
that created this phenomenon. And gave birth to it,
right.
You know. At this time, the FBI considers that there are, and I don't mean to get dark and dreary, I'm just saying, you know, look what on one hand manifests. I mean, at any time in the United States, there's over 35 successful serial killers working.
Wow.
Kind of friggin' scary. There comes the mailman.
Well, it just goes to
show you, you know, when it opens, it opens. And like you said,
it does.
It's coming out, and you got to deal with it.
It's, but the same, now look.
The energy, not necessarily the person. Go on.
But 100 years before, there was these incredible schisms and enlightened masters who opened that door 100 years before it, and you had this incredible phenomenon of people like the Count Saint-Germain, the Master Kundalini.
Right.
All of these. So, I mean, what doors are we opening right now? There's the question to think about.
For every individual, because that's what makes the difference. It's not nations and what governments say the nation thinks. It's every individual.
Well, yes, we are all making the motion of the ocean.
Yeah.
Very much so. And yet there are these collectives. Breaches, these collective rips in the reality that tear us into new dimensional aspects. And I do think they are multidimensional rips, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all bad either. Like I said, we have the Ascended Master phenomenon. We have the... But my question comes back to, what are we creating? What is this vanguard from the 60s and this community of spiritually present people like ourselves who are being urged to be vigil now and to maintain and trust and keep it open? What have we really opened? And how do we define it truly? Ascension, evolution? Yeah, but there's something else here, I think.
Well, if I dare answer the question, I would say it's the inclusion of all the sides. So we know the darkness. We now have found more of the light. Now there's
balance.
Right. Now there's a different level of light, which also comes with a different level of darkness, which also means that you have to be cool with it. Like it has to be the inclusion and working with all of it. And I think that's where the transformation happens, because once it all becomes just all part of love, even the devil of all devils, then it's no longer about duality. And that's, I think, the way that we're going. But it has to be, the next step is the inclusion, the shadow side. It's knocking.
Well, duality and polarity, these are ultimately how we learn and grow.
Right.
We stretch and grow through that duality, and the striving for balance in them is, you know, that's what you're talking about, aren't you?
Yeah. Right. And
what do you see as the balanced? Do you have an idea of what the balanced completion of that is? I mean, what are we without the struggle?
Well, first. That is a good one.
I got you now.
Well, but I think this is a doorway here, because when I said the shadow side is knocking, where is it knocking? It's always been here. It's knocking at the door of love. I think there are parts of the shadow that want to come into the light. It's not to say that they're going to become, you know, the brightest, but maybe. So it's including all those parts in ourself that's, you know, the Nazi, the straight slave driver, the general, the naysayer, whatever that is, and having it all work with you.
The serial killer.
Right. I mean.
Yeah. Okay. I gotcha. Perhaps that's why, because I've said this before, that, you know, harmonic convergence and the alignment of the constellations and this solar system to the heart of heaven, and that awakening Shazam, that Zeus bolt of lightning that happened, I often think, you know, that was fear coming up to be recognized and ultimately, as you are saying right now, transmuted.
Right. Taking its place at the table. You can't run anymore from anything. It has to be included.
Okay.
Yeah. Eventually, you know, I mean, we should all do this tomorrow, but...
Okay, is everybody here for council? Yes. Wait a minute. Here comes that. Oh, and then slithering up. Let Jack sit down. He has a place at the table.
Right. But everybody's got to know what's up. And that's why it's with love. Like, and that's why.
Yeah.
You know, talking about what can we do with this information personally? I mean, my best.
That's the big thing. As you can see, I use a sense of humor.
Oh, well, you have to have that.
Shitless of some of the stuff I come to a conclusion about with, even with myself, you know?
Right. But where it starts, is with yourself. Like talking about my inner Nazi and the relationship that by not shunning that side and going, okay, I clearly, because I Nazified myself and I crucified and I was such an asshole to myself, I realized that this was some entity in me. So now that I've gone, okay, Mr. Nazi, I see you are here and you're not going anywhere. So how do we put you to use without you doing some bullshit? I mean, to be perfectly honest. And he can't be in charge, and he gets carried away. But he's very good at getting tasks done. And you can't.
How very German of you. They're the clockmakers, honey. They keep the trains running.
Exactly. It's cutting off all extraneous things and just go, you know. So he makes sure you don't come home from the grocery store with 10 items you don't need. He goes, no, put it down. No. You're like, okay, I guess I'm not getting this. But sometimes you can get carried away, and he just says no to everything. And you go, now, wait a minute. I think this is Mr. Nazi trying to be in charge? You can't be in charge, and then you make the decision.
Well, who governs the Nazi? Yes, I see what you're saying. The many aspects within ourselves are basically those archetypes that are filling our planetary community right now on the consciousness level, on the collective consciousness level. And they are being exhibited to us. They're being, there's a huge exhibit going on in art and all art these days, whether it's television or it's paintings and or it's books or comic books. Boy, comic books are big. It's all coming through, you know, that's the hidey hole that all of the change creeps out from, in my opinion, is from art.
Oh, yeah. Art. Yeah.
I mean, people...
It's all art at the end of the day, isn't it?
Well... I don't know. I think we could differentiate that. I think we could pare it down to something more, you know, textbook. The art that is the creative force of the collective consciousness. What are you, I mean, like myself sitting back and writing these adventures that are basically, you know, exaggerations of past experience or actually just made up to make it more, you know, an adventure. But then stepping forward and saying, well, but look, this is what it really is. And this is how you deal with it. And these are the cultures and they've dealt with, you know what I'm saying? My own little project there type of thing. Well, you're working with me on it. But the point is that art is where I think a lot of this is creeping out into the collective consciousness from. And, of course, we create it. we do create it. But
and
our subconscious expression is coming forward.
Yes, and that's what makes art so important, because in order to create something, it takes focus. You have to think of an idea. You're communing with everything. You're seeing what's coming through. You're making decisions. You're focused on something. When is it finished? I mean, art is such a wonderful...
And that includes the acting, the dancing, the...
Right, that happens.
The music, the colors, the stories, the phenomena that are out there. It's not the celebrities. Let's get that clear.
Right.
You know, that's a whole kind of mythology that's another kind of mythology, but it's not the art itself. They just display it.
And your own art. I mean, really, to think about that's really the most important. Well, what did you create? You know, and it doesn't matter if it's three lines and a splash of red on a paper. That, I created that.
It as you're saying, it does express, yes. I think that's a wonderful thing to share with people to do, you know, to be more creative, to explore that side in themselves that allows whatever to come out, you know, all aspects within or the subconscious. And some of the tools that we have to do that, again, are these wonderful spiritual seeker tools like affirmations, exploring this, that, or the other, shield making, meditation, on and on.
Right. Right. The expression of self and where are you? You're in it. You're in all of it. Every decision and every avenue you go in, and that's how we learn about ourselves. So wonderful discussion. I really enjoyed this. I learned a lot, as always.
So did I. We're at the top of the hour once again, I see. I'd like to remind everybody that if you're looking for some tools aromatically and with subtle interface through flower essences, to visit daughtersofisis.com and take a look at what we have to offer from Daughters of Isis. And over to you.
Yes. Well, for me, Spirit Therapy will have our show on this Monday, continuing with this topic, work it out or work on it, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. And
do you ever have guests?
I don't. I save that for us because I like the tag team questioning.
Well, see, I'm bringing it out so folks will know.
Yeah, it's good. And I'm doing half-hour shows, so giving you the slices instead of the long version, because I know people are getting a lot of things done lately. So, and I just want to mention, because I'm told to, Daughters of Isis, it's called Men, and it's from the Maya collection. And I remember it as I Am Home. So yes. Grounding in the energy into our body and our planet and then up, it's a good grounding without, you know, jerking you down or anything. It's like, and we're trickling, and we're trickling. So I highly recommend that one. And I'm coupling it with the medicine ceremony, which goes very nicely together. Even their bottles match. So, yeah. So, all right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And this has been The Consciousness Shift. And next week, we are having the chocolate guy. I'm calling him. It's
the chocolate guy. Oh, nice.
Yeah. The spirit of cacao. He makes all healthy and spiritually minded chocolates that are out of this world. So we will talk with Kurt next week on The Consciousness Shift. Have a great week and peace and love.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Gwen.